Good morning, church. We're glad you're here today. We're going to begin to finish up our series. We've been talking from Malachi, and I'd like to read the verse for you, chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God requires that we practice justice. Remember Micah, when he wrote this, he was writing to the people, and the problem was justice was not happening for the poor. It was not happening for others as well. But they were oppressed by the religious leaders. They were oppressed by the enemies of Israel. They were oppressed by their leaders. And Micah says something has got to change. And that's what he's calling for, is a change in their heart. And he tells us that we honor God and our faith when we are people of justice. Justice is giving someone exactly what is due. It's not cheating them. It's not a curve. It's giving them exactly what they have required. And last week we decided that for us to practice it in our life, it usually takes these forms. One is honesty or truthfulness. Justice says that we have got to be truthful for each other. It means standing for what is right. And sometimes as dads and moms, you're going to have to take that stand for your family for what is right. In fact, what is just for you. Voiding favoritism. Whenever we are show favorites, we are defining or denying, if you will, justice to the other person. Treat our enemies fairly. That's kind of a new one for us. Never taking advantage of other people. But most of all, he says, I want you to live a just life. Someone said, God is more interested in the way people live their daily lives than in their religious practices. God is going to wants us to do something else. The story goes that Muhammad Soher was working the night shift at a local convenience store which he owned in New York. And about midnight, the security cameras show a man coming into the store with a mask on and a baseball bat. He was coming in to rob the store, but what happened was Muhammad got the jump on him and he had a rifle. And he pulled the rifle on the man as he came to the cash register, and the man fell on his knees and said, "Forgive me, I'm sorry." Well, Muhammad did something that was kind of unusual. He spoke to him and the man said, "I have no job, my family's hungry, I have no money." And Muhammad gave him $40 and gave him some bread and sent him on his way, and he did not press charges against him. He had the right to do that, but he chose kindness. It's kind of unheard for us to think of something like that would happen. But this is what we're talking about is, we're going to talk about mercy or kindness today as part of it. And it means to show kindness and favor and good deed and compassion. Now, in your Bibles, when I read Micah 6:8, for the NIV, you translate the word mercy. The New American Standard Version, Bible that I use, translated kindness. Either one, they both kind of work well together. But in the Bible, God's mercy means His pity, His compassion, and His kindness towards people. See, we experience the mercy of God when we accepted Christ. And we experience His kindness and His mercy throughout our life in forgiveness of our sins. And all comes through Jesus Christ. You know, mercy is a really important word in the Bible. It means kindness and favor and good deed and compassion. Do you know it's used over 300 times? How does it compare to other words? Grace is used 176 times. To forgive is 112. Hell is mentioned 54 times. So mercy is really a big deal. It's loving kindness. It's that relationship that comes with a covenant relationship that they had with God. It was how He treated them, with loving kindness. It was forever His loving kindness was there. See, it's not enough to maintain a relationship with God. God's telling His people, out of obligation to me, but I want you to love me out of loving kindness towards me. And it's God's mercy. And what He says is, I want you to love kindness or love mercy, if you will. See, it's not enough to do it He says, I want you to love it. I want you to love being kind to people. I want you to love being merciful to people. I want this to be part of you, who you are. See, we give gifts to our spouses, hopefully not out of obligation, but because we love them. We do it because we have a love for them. See, when Jesus spoke about kindness and mercy, it was always kind of an unexpected kindness. Let me share some thoughts with you here. The Good Samaritan, a Gentile, he's not the guy that's going to be the hero. We have two Jewish religious leaders come by, and they see the man beaten. And the man bought it on himself. Remember now, he traveled by himself. He was beat up by robbers, and they left him for dead. And the religious leaders walked away, but the Samaritan helped him. The prodigal son walked away with his inheritance and went to a foreign land and wasted it and came back. And we see the mercy and the kindness in the heart of the father. He didn't lecture him. He welcomed him home. He threw a party for him. We see the lady caught in adultery and she's brought before Jesus. And we see the compassion that Jesus had and the law of the Old Testament religious leaders. An unexpected, Jesus told her to go and sin no more. And we look at the thief on the cross. We show the extent and the depth of God's mercy towards mankind. See, because God is merciful, he says, if you're a child of mine, that's who I want you to be. I want you to look like the Father. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Peter wrote, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. See, it's not enough for us to show it. He says, I want you to live it. I want you to love it. I want it to for you to embrace it, if you will. You know, practicing justice is a little bit easier than mercy. We expect justice. But mercy is kind of a thing that we throw in, we don't expect very much. And so Mike is telling them that this is what God expects of you. But guys, we're not part of a society that values kindness and mercy. We're rude to each other. You know, it's just how we are. And the acts of kindness we have. How many of you have ever knew that you were moved to do something and you didn't do it? And as you walk away, the Holy Spirit says, what are you thinking? And you knew you should have done it, but you didn't. See, God says, I want you to be people who love people and show kindness and mercy to them. You know, Jesus calls us to forgive, to share, and bless people. See, sometimes, even as a church, we can do things out of obligation. And not out of loving doing that thing. Know what I mean? How many of you do things out of obligation? And it's a good thing, but you don't like it. It brings no joy to you. See, he says, for you as my people, for you to just do have kindness is not enough. You have got to have your heart that generates a love to be that way. What he says is performance is not enough. He says, it's not what God is not looking at the deeds. He's looking at the heart. So we're going to see, you know, what Micah says for us is, it's all about our heart, isn't it? A heart that for justice, a heart for kindness. One writer said, we could say that true spirituality is heart religion, intensely personal, and it works itself out publicly for the good of others. Now, you show a lot of mercy. You're a congregation of kindness. Today, Family Promise is on our campus. And you're going to spend a whole week taking care of our guests. First Family Share. Every year you set together $5,000 so that who can minister? That you can minister to people. It's what you do. The money we send to our missionaries. It's the things that we do for them. It's all the other things. It's the reach out bags for the homeless in the back that's prepared for you to give. It's all because we are supposed to be people of kindness. And we could go through the motions. But Micah says, God wants more. He wants us to love to be that way. Maybe the challenge today would be, look for the opportunities God's placed in your life to extend kindness. to love kindness, if you will. What he says is, I want you to love kindness. See, there's a difference between doing it. Many of you can run. Only a few of you love running. Can you see the difference? The obligation is, if I have to run to the back door, I could probably do that. But to the person who loves running, they just don't run a mile, they run two. They find great joy in it. And what he said is, I want you to be a people who find great joy in blessing others with kindness and mercy. You know, maybe a way to look at it is this. How is mercy and kindness shown? It's shown by grace. Sometimes we just offer grace and not judgment. Forgiveness and not blaming. Patience and not being irritable with people. And kindness and not being harsh. See, judgment and blaming and irritation and harshness, they come easy. They come really easy. But notice that justice and kindness have nothing directly related to God. It's not towards Him. It's towards people. He's asking us to do that towards people. And He expects us as His children to be like the Father. I expect all of you. There are certain characteristics in your life that you hope your sons and daughters will grow up with. You want to see it reflected in their life. And you take great joy when you see it. God says, that's what the reflection I want to see in you. Now there's one more thing that God asks of us. In Micah 6:8, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly describes a heart attitude towards God. See, God made a covenant relationship with them. And the covenant relationship, God says, if you do this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a loving, kind God to you. I'm going to love you and care for you and protect you and enrich you as a nation. And I'm going to bless you. But the problem was, we see later on in a few verses, they're out of touch. They walked away from God. And in great fear, they come back and say, how can we return? See, God's people depend upon Him than themselves. We're going through transition right now. Our congregation is dependent upon God to send us the right person to help us. The right person to lead us. It's not our wisdom that's going to make it happen. I've been praying last year for that person. I know our elders have prayed months and even a year in advance that God help us with the right person. And when He comes, we're not going to say, well, look what we did. We're going to say, look at the blessing God has sent us. And sometimes we're tempted to take great pride in what we do for God. Well, this is a great building. Great campus. Look what we did for you, God. Now, we know that all this came through sacrificing God's blessings. It's not what we do for God. But it's our attitude that we have before the Father that, you know, we're not that great. You know, we sometimes think that we are so good that God just has to embrace us. But Micah says, you got to learn to walk humbly with God. See, it's three ways. Outwardly, we practice justice. Inwardly, we love mercy. And upward, we walk humbly with God. See, the only way we can walk with Him is through His Son, Jesus. If you've never accepted Christ, you're not walking with God. You're a good person, I'm sure, but you're not walking with God. See, God expects us to walk humbly with Him. See, sometimes I think we get it backwards. We come and we talk to God in prayer, and we come and we, you know, do things for God, and we like that. And sometimes, so God, you know, I've really been a Christian a long time. You kind of owe me a little bit. I've been doing a lot of good things for you. I sacrifice a lot to be in your presence. God, you kind of owe me. And see, Micah says, we've got to take an honest evaluation of ourselves. An honest appraisal of who we are for God. We need to be reminded that we didn't reach up to God and pull God here. God reached down to us as sinners and opened the door for us. It was not us being good enough. Through the Reformation, you know, they had thought up until Martin Luther that we had to be good enough and saints enough and God would accept us. Martin Luther said, man, y'all got it wrong. God's coming to us as sinners. We got to remember that's how we came is through His love. I like what Paul said. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. One writer said, maybe it's more than just the attitude that we have with God, a humble attitude. It is a walk or a caution in how we walk our daily lives with Him. See, the word walk there indicates a manner of living. You don't have a walk. We're in a journey. We walk and it talks about our life. It takes effort. He says, I want you to walk humbly before God. Your actions should be with caution. Your actions should be careful. They should be guarded, if you will. And I want to share with you just four things and we're going to go home. When we walk with God, we simply walk in the same direction. Walk in the same direction. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to be walking in the same direction God is going. Where's God going? He's going home. He's calling us. He says, this is a pilgrimage, and I want you to walk with me. And it requires us to walk where He is walking. Our goal is to operate under the umbrella of God's will. We want to be there every day and everything we do that falls under the umbrella of God's will. Outside of that is great disaster for us. And it requires a lot of decisions on our life. It means going at the same pace. Sometimes Pat will say to me, are you going to a fire? No, why? Well, you're walking like it. See, if God is going at this pace, we've got to follow the same pace as God. We've got to be in the same step with Him. We've got to have the same attitudes that He would want us to, you know, to have. It's having the same pace. It's walking with God. It's going to the same destination. You know, we're going home. And that's, He says, I want you to be walking that way. And the last one is for the same reason. It means I'm going to walk with God in the same direction. I'm going to stay within the umbrella of His will. And I want to be a child of God. When we walk with God, it implies those things. See, Jesus put it best when He said, in His model prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's where we want to be. We want to be in conformity to the will of God. See, justice, I think, for you is pretty easy. We like justice for others and for ourselves. But kindness and walking with God are hard things. They're everyday living things that we do. And God has called us to not get so wrapped up into things as it's Him and walking with Him. Will you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this day. And Father, I ask that You just walk with us. And Father, may we walk in return with You. And Father, You have shown us what loving kindness looks like. You've showed us what mercy looks like. And Father, You've invited us to walk home with You. Father, may we be people of kindness and people of mercy and people of justice. And may You be our God, Father, always. Help each one of us, Father, in our walk. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you never walked with Christ, today's a great day to do it. He says, come, I want to walk with you. I want to take you home. He wants to spend eternity with you. And it comes through His Son, Jesus. And maybe for us as Christians, we have to say, am I an honest person? Am I a just person? Do I love kindness or I do it out of obligation? Make it a hard issue for us. Oh, we